Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
If you've been following Ben McKechnie's reviews of the Harry Potter movies over the past few years, you'll know that he's been eagerly awaiting the eighth instalment. Sure, not so much to find out what happens, more because he'll be breathing a sigh of relief that he'll never have to watch another one. Ben's on the line now to tell us about Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2, as well as Larry Crown and an intriguing film called Hannah. Ben, welcome.
Lee, you couldn't have summarised my feelings about Harry Potter, the movie franchise, any better.
Mate, this is it. This is it.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I've been on the record for some time about not being a fan of the Harry Potter film franchise. Maybe not for the reasons that some people might think. This isn't because I'm a Christian and I'm deeply opposed to supernatural elements or, you know, wizardry on screen, anything like that.
Yeah.
That's not my issue. My issue with the films is that they're boring. And they're boring, dull, don't have much tension, blah, 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 blah. But thank goodness we're finally at the finale and something actually happened.
You're so controversial. So what's this one like, dare I ask?
I think in the scheme of things, and again, going back to my dislike of the Harry Potter movie, it's quite good because it just basically is the culmination of this entire series. And It gets to a point where it can't delay things any longer. And that's some of my big issue with the other films, is that they always felt like they were delaying the inevitable, which is Harry Potter versus Voldemort, the character played by Ralph Fiennes in the films. And it's like this big tussle between good and evil, and we're finally there. And the bulk of this Deathly Hallows Part 2 is devoted to the obliteration of Hogwarts, the college, the school that Harry Potter goes to. And so for my money, yeah, there's a bit of dynamics, and there was actually a real sense of something happening in the Harry Potter films, as opposed to the other ones, where they just seem to go through another year and Harry does something. Anyway, I won't bore you with the tears of it.
Mind you, the fans have been flocking to it. It's broken the box office records again.
Oh yes, yeah. Look, it's me having my little whinge about the Harry Potter movies. It's such a drop in a massive ocean, and the Harry Potter films have been critic proof ever since they came out. So, what I've been surprised about all the way through, though, is the amount of people that really, really liked the Harry Potter films. I thought they'd be a bit more polarizing, but the vast majority of people, critics and fans alike, really like the movies. So much so that we get to the last movie, and it's made $900 million around the world in 15 days. And
wow.
That was quicker than Avatar. Avatar did that in 18 days. Harry Potter's beaten it by three. $900 million. Jeepers. So my little...
Enjoy being in the minority?
little bit.
Now, the series is, as you've indicated, it's known for its dabbling in supernatural themes, many surprises this time around. And before you answer, perhaps we should give our listeners a spoiler alert.
Yeah, and look, I was going to scream spoiler alert a lot louder. But again, we're talking about Harry Potter, and up until this stage, I'm pretty convinced that the majority of listeners that are still hanging in there and listening to me babble on about Harry Potter, they would know what happens at the finale of this film. But I will try to tread as carefully as I can. Supernatural themes are in this. The films have got increasingly dark, quote-unquote, as they've gone along, as the kids have got more adult, as we get slowly but surely to this inevitable good versus evil tussle.
Yep.
But I think if the kids... look, this is still definitely a film for teenagers. I think the really young kids will be freaked out and the content is a bit strong. But if your kids, particularly teenagers, have seen the other Harry Potter films, I don't think this one's any worse. But the interesting thing, well, if that's the right word for it, there's a lot of focus more on this film on death than there has been before. And okay. Particularly a very weird sequence that I didn't quite understand that involves Harry Potter seemingly dying, going off to a strange sort of heaven purgatory, King's Cross, as in King's Cross in London, a station where he talks to Dumbledore, his mentor, and then decides himself to return to the land of the living to go on and battle Voldemort. That the depiction of death in that obviously is very different to a Christian's interpretation of what happens at the moment of death.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit baffled by that, this sort of weird self-sacrifice redemption thread that was running through Harry Potter, which just seemed to kind of crop up. Like, there's no real explanation. There's no worldview behind this. It seemed remarkably convenient.
Yeah. Okay. So let's leave Harry Potter. That's it, Ben.
Gone. Thank you, Lee.
Let's move on to a more grown-up movie. Larry Crown. Tell us about that.
Look, this is starring Tom Hanks. He also co-wrote this film and he directs it. And Julia Roberts is in the film as well. They made a pretty good film a couple of years ago called Charlie Wilson's War. As opposed to Charlie Wilson's War, Larry Crown isn't much chop. It's not... maybe I should say what it's about. Look, it's about Larry Crown. He's played by Tom Hanks. He's just sort of an everyday bloke, and he's working at this department store in the States. And at the start of the movie, we see him getting fired. And the reason he gets fired is the start of many, many things that don't really add up in the film. But he gets fired, and then he's on the breadline, and he's trying to work out what he's going to do. And his scheme to sort of get back on his feet and find work is to go to a community college, get a degree, and then he'll be more employable. So the movie actually starts out like it's going to be a bit of a dark comedy and quite a timely reflection on the GFC, and particularly those people that were forced out of work from the GFC and then had to face the reality of having to learn new skills, learn a new trade just to survive. But sadly, that's not where Larry Crown goes.
So timely, but you were still left a bit disappointed.
Look, very much so. Maybe to be kinder to the movie, I'll try to be diplomatic. I was speaking to a friend's dad this evening who went to see Larry Crown the other week, and he quite liked it. And he thought it was a lot better, a lot nicer, a lot more enjoyable than many other movies this year. That's one person's viewpoint. But I know, like myself, your producer, Katrina, couldn't bear Larry Crown either. And the main issue we had with the film is it's a movie about a guy who, when he goes to community college, sort of everything works out. And I'll do a spoiler alert on myself and spoiler try to it. Stop short of saying what happens.
Okay.
But we're watching a guy where all this stuff works out in a situation where for so many people it hasn't.
Yeah.
And I thought it was actually verging on insulting that this guy, Tom Hanks, world big movie star, gets to a college. Julia Roberts is this teacher, becomes a bit of a love interest. Like, just all these boxes start being ticked. So for me, it was a wasted opportunity for a really serious presentation of what people actually may go through when they lose their job, as opposed to this frivolous bit of what's this movie about.
What a pity. Okay, so finally, Hannah. Hannah, starring Cate Blanchett and Eric Bana.
Yeah, this is a really strange kettle of fish. So Eric Bana is playing a bloke who used to be a CIA agent. And then due to what often happens to CIA agents in movies, they get stitched up, someone wants to kill them. So he goes off and hides out in Finland for about 15, 16 years, and he raises his daughter, who's played by an Irish actress called Saoirse Ronan. She's playing Hannah, the title character. He raises her as an assassin in the wilds of Finland, and then when the film starts, is when he sends his daughter out on the mission he's been training her for, which is to go out and hunt down a CIA operative who's played by Cate Blanchett. So we're talking about a teenage assassin.
Sounds a bit like the Bourne series.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, if you can picture the Bourne series meeting a European artsy fairy tale, and also throw in there a teen flick as well, because you're also talking about a girl who's been raised in the wilderness, doesn't know anything about the world apart from what her dad's told her, and then she pretty much gets thrust into the world, and this is where the fairy tale aspect kind of comes in, where she's just sort of this wondrous creature trying to work out where she is and where she fits in, what her mission is, all that kind of stuff. And she's also an assassin. So it is a really unusual piece of work. Saying that, there have been a couple of films in the past that have done a similar thing, strangely, with a young female assassin. Natalie Portman's screen debut was a movie called Leon the Professional, where she was an apprentice hit girl when she was about 14. And then a couple of years ago, there was a movie called Kick-Ass, and there was a girl in that called Hit Girl, and her dad, played by Nicolas Cage, also was raising her as an assassin. So obviously, there's a lot to be questioned in these movies about parenting skills, and particularly parenting skills of teenage girls.
I love your movie brain. You've got the biggest movie brain on the planet.
That's going a little bit far, official.
But, it's official.
But I'm hoping now that we've talked about Harry Potter so much that some of Harry Potter's going to leave my brain. That would be fantastic.
It's gone. Harry who? Ben McKeggan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, mate.
Good on you.
Great week.
Ben is from Empire Magazine. He's the film critic and our resident film guru who are here on Open House.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.